I am the person who I am because I am who I am. I am the person who I am because of how I responded to the pressure, tension, and discipline in my life. I am the person I am because of how I responded to the pressure, tension, and discipline in my life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I am the person I am because of how I responded to the pressure, tension, and discipline in my life. Now, if I were writing this statement myself, I would say, I am the person I am because of how I remain true to my original purity and integrity, to my happiness, to my joy in living, and to my wonder at all the beauty that lies around me and before me and within me. That's kind of nice too, isn't it? Let's look at the other one there. I am the person I am because of how I responded to the pressure, tension, and discipline in my life. All of my life, I have things that come up and try to shake my boat. That doesn't happen to anybody else, but it only happens to me. And these pressures and these tensions and these things that shake my boat cause me to feel insecure, cause me to feel that life is not as well planned as it could be. There's a lot of little hang-ups in there that don't have to be there. Now, I say to myself, if I'm God, if I'm the creator of my world, if I am wonderful, and if I created me on this planet to be myself and have fun, why in the world am I having other experiences now and then? You know, why is my body sometimes acting up improperly? That is not whole and perfect. Why is my relationship sometimes shaky and a little bit rocky? And why is my income less than salubrious, less than fabulous, you know, etc.? Herb, shut up. You don't ask why you are less, why you are not. You only say, I am. And the reason, Herb, you know, I'm talking to myself, the reason, Herb, that you experience anything less than what you visualize as your ideal is that you think about the things that might be and you bring them into being. You think about limitation. You think about hatred. You think about war. You think about anxiety. You think about 100,000 different possibilities that are contrary to your highest good. And then you wonder why you have them happen. Well, now, hey, I also think about being a multimillionaire. I also think about being wealthy, a multibillionaire, like, you know, Bill and Buffett, you know. And I think about those things, too. And I think about having happy relationships and being in harmony with people and stuff like that. How often? How often? Today, children are spending anywhere from 6 to 13 hours a day watching television. Now, what do they see for 6 to 13 hours a day on TV? Certainly not all uplifting Disney shows, and all Disney shows are not uplifting. But what are these kids being exposed to? Now, what are you being exposed to? Are you being exposed to gossip with your neighbors? Gossip on the job? Are you being exposed to the feeling of you're not getting paid as much as you're worth? Are you getting exposed to the idea that you don't feel too good? You'd rather stay in bed? Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get out of bed. That's the song that they sang during the Second World War about the soldiers and the sailors who had to go to war, and they hated to get up in the morning because I guess at home they could sleep in a little bit. But you see, what a way. It's a lovely song. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. What a way to greet the day. Fortunately, not everyone sang that song. Not everyone thought that song, but enough of them did to make it unhappy for them. How did I respond to pressure in my life? Well, usually I'd tumble down underneath it. I said, oh my God, now that car's going to hit that tree, wow! And then my heart speaks up and says, no, I'm the creator here. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And the car doesn't even come near the tree. Yeah. You know? When you're all is in divine order, immediately taking charge, you're not saying what's right, what's wrong. You just say, all is in divine order. Your first thought was the car was going to hit the tree and smash it to smithereens and kill everybody in it. Oh, boy, boy, blood and guts. Isn't that great? Oh, man, oh, yes. You're going to stop and look at it. Everybody's going to rubberneck and see what's going on. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know? And how silly, huh? We've been trained to do this. Does Daddy slow down the car to see what's going on? And do all the kids look? And does Mommy look? And does Mommy slow down the car to see if anybody needing help? And do all the kids see this going on? And does Papa see this going on? You know, it's just a silly thing that we do to ourselves. And even if we haven't got the family along, we rubberneck. We just have spent a great deal of time looking at unhappiness. Now, you're driving by the park. And the park is designed by this great park designer who designed New York City Park, you know, Central Park and Washington, D.C. and their total landscape and everything. A wonderful guy. Biltmore Castle in North Carolina. He did all those beautiful things. Now, you're driving by Central Park, and you're in a hurry to get from here to there. Do you ever stop, park in a parking garage there, walk across the street, and walk through maybe about half a mile, more or less, whatever you want, of the park, and look at the beautiful trees, and look at the waterways that are there, and look at the ducks that are there, and just sit and watch the squirrels come up to these crazy guys who are feeding them all day long, having a lot of fun, you know? Do you ever do that? No, you don't, because you're too busy going about your work. You don't plan in your day time to meditate, time to think about it, time to be relaxed and at peace. You don't discipline yourself. You could. You know, it's interesting, they talk about people who retire. And when these executives retire from their executive job, they go buy a bag of peanuts and go sit in the park and feed the squirrels. For the first time in their life, they take a few minutes for themselves to just sit and feed the squirrels. And their wife's glad to have them out of the house. And the company's glad to have them out of the company because, you know, if they're on the company, they're thinking business. And so the new heads want to do this. The new wheels want to do this. Well, what happens to this guy sitting there feeding the pigeons or feeding the squirrels? He begins to listen introspectively and begins to hear about the divine in him. He begins to feel, hey, this is a hell of a lot better than any television show I've ever watched. I feel much better when I'm done feeding the squirrels than when I'm watching a TV show. This is so much better than walking down the main street, you know, Fifth Avenue, and thinking, my gosh, the Easter parade, you know, walking down Fifth Avenue, how wonderful. You know, take a few minutes. Be anonymous. Go sit on a park bench where nobody knows you, not even the squirrels. And they'll know that you're peaceful. They'll know you got a bag of peanuts in your pocket. They'll know that it's for them. And they'll come up and they'll beg. And they'll eat right out of your hand. They won't bite you. They love you. They love peanuts. They've been trained by artists in how to eat peanuts and not offend anybody. I am the person I am because of how I responded to the pressure, tension, and discipline in my life. One of my great joys in owning and operating newspapers across the United States was that I would take time to go and do my feature story, one or two of them, every week. One of them, I'd write about the farms, or I'd write about the outstanding people of the community, and I'd take pictures of their families and take pictures of them and put it on my editorial page. And then I'd write positive editorials about the community, about how well it was doing. And I tell you, that was my joy time. That was my joy time. And then I would take the newspaper, and it was hot type newspaper at that time yet. And so I would take the Ludlow, and I would make up headlines, and I would make them up in the most beautiful forms. And I figured, you know, what's the prize winningest newspaper in the United States? And that's the Christian Science Monitor. The Christian Science Monitor is one of the finest graphic designed newspapers in the United States. At least it was when I was back there handling it. So I started to buy copies of it. And I would take their layout, just the way they laid it out, with my headlines. And I would put it on the front page of my paper and the inside pages. And I would take all of their high quality, high cost paid people to create these beautiful designs they had in the newspaper, you know. And I'd do them in my own way, for my own newspapers, using the stories that I had to tell and the things that I had to do. And I began getting all sorts of awards because I was using their layout and their design. But what the heck? It's public domain. You can take the ideas off there. You cannot take exact words and stuff like that, but you take the layout and take the design. And pretty soon I was doing my own layout and design. And I started winning awards from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and the, from the Prairie du Chien Courier Press and so forth, and from the California Newspaper Publishers Association, and from the National Newspaper Publishers Association. All of them just began, I naturally sent in my papers as a sample, you know, and they all were winning awards. And everyone was saying, man, we had never had an award-winning newspaper in this town, you know, and they did. Because I was using the imagination of the Christian Science Monitor people, and I sent it right out. I didn't hold anything back, but people still said, yeah, but you did it. You did it. Other people, they felt they had to jam things in and make smaller headlines because they had more stories that they had to get in. Hey, I went for the art. I went for the love. I went for the joy. And tension? Huh. I would be working, I'd go to the city council meetings, and the council meeting would be over about 10 o'clock, and then the councilman would go out and have a beer or whatever. I'd go across the street to my office, and I'd sit at my typewriter, and within an hour and a half, I'd have the entire council meeting typed up, remembering it perfectly, because I made little notes as I went along, and I would have it all set for the typesetter, who in the morning would have it all ready for me, and I would make out and lay out the paper in perfect shape. It was just lots of fun. Creative. I went home feeling, I did a good job. And so I came in 8, 9 o'clock in the morning instead of earlier, and it was just great. But you see, it wasn't pressure or tension for me. It was just self-discipline. And because of that self-discipline, everything went along just beautifully. I'm the person I am because of how I responded to the pressure, which was not pressure, to the tension, which was not tension, and the discipline, which was not discipline, it was self-discipline, in my life. And I have never been sorry that I did. And to this day, I still live in that sense of freedom, balance, harmony, love, joy, and life is wonderful. How about you? I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.